John chapter 4 to continue looking at the miracles of Christ. We begin today looking at the healing miracles of Christ, which of course are the majority of the recorded miracles of Christ. And the first one that we read of is the healing of a certain nobleman's son. We'll begin reading with verse 46, reading through the end of the chapter, verse 54. So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, which we've already looked at there in John chapter 2. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he, that is this nobleman, heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he, the son, was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. That was a rebuke to this nobleman. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in that which Jesus saith unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. The healing miracles of Christ, like all the miracles of Christ, serve as a picture. The healing miracles are of great variety. I believe they are a very beautiful picture of salvation. I believe in all the healing miracles you can see a picture of the salvation of sinners, but it's not limited to picturing the salvation of sinners. The healing miracles also picture just the needs of mankind, in particular the needs of God's people. And in all the miracles, but perhaps more so the healing miracles, we see the ability and the sufficiency of Christ to meet the needs of man, and that the ability and sufficiency of Christ goes beyond the needs of man. The Lord does far, far more than simply meet our needs. He exceeds our needs in everything. In everything that he does for us, he goes beyond what we need. And we see these healing miracles are really just pictures of God's grace, how gracious the Lord is. You notice in verse 46, there was a certain nobleman. That is, there was a particular nobleman. And you see that the healing miracles of Christ are for particular individuals, for specific individuals. That's exactly how God works in salvation. Salvation isn't random. Salvation is particular. Salvation is very, very specific for particular and specific individuals. We see that with the healing miracles. The impotent man in John chapter 5, there was a multitude of impotent folk, but there was a certain man. There was one man in particular that Jesus took special interest in that day. And so it is when the Lord saves our soul. We were particular. We were specific to him at that hour. And that's true also when he meets our needs. And we see this statement. There was a certain nobleman. We see this throughout the healing miracles of Christ. Notice in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler. This ruler, his daughter was dead, and we know Jesus would raise her up. But what we want to notice here, there was a certain ruler. Not just any ruler, but a particular ruler. A specific ruler who would be the recipient of God's grace, who would be the receiver of this miracle. Notice also in the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew. Well, let's go over to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 5. The book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 25. We see in verse 24, Jesus went with him. And that would be Jairus. And much people followed him and thronged him. Much people. But then notice what it says. And a certain woman. Much people, but a certain woman. This particular woman, again, would be the recipient of God's grace. We see in Mark chapter 7, Mark chapter 7, verse 25. Here we read of the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was demon-possessed. And we know that the Lord would heal this woman's daughter. But it begins there in verse 25, for a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. In the book of Luke, chapter 7, book of Luke, chapter 7, we have here the miracle of a centurion's servant being healed. And we read in verse 2, and a certain centurion's servant. Now, I don't believe it's any accident that over and over we read a certain and then we have the individual. The miracles of Christ, again, are particular. They are specific. And I'm glad when salvation came, it was for me in particular. It was for a specific individual. And that's always the case. When the Lord saves someone, there may be a multitude of people, but a certain one is who the Lord is interested in. We see in the book of Luke, chapter 8, book of Luke chapter 8 and verse 27. When he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils. I'm sure there were others who had demons also. There was a particular man that received the miracle of the Lord. In Luke chapter 14, Luke chapter 14 and verse 2. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. So we need to realize that in all the healing miracles of Christ, which makes it much more special, they were for particular individuals. This is not random healing. This is not somebody who just accidentally got in the way and were healed. These are certain individuals. And that is true with our own salvation. That is true with our own human needs as well. God deals with us particularly and specifically. God deals with us as individuals, and that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. So this particular miracle, the healing of the nobleman's son, John is the only one who records it, and we see that it occurred after Jesus came into Cana of Galilee, which would have been the second time that he was in Cana of Galilee. The first time, we're told here, he made water wine. We see in verse 43, now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. That is, after 2 days at Sychar, he came into Galilee. There in verse 46, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. But some time has transpired between his first and second visit to Cana of Galilee, but it's specifically mentioned that this is where he made water wine. So he is specifically mentioned the first miracle of Christ. So as he arrives in Cana, a certain nobleman, who no doubt was from Capernaum, that's where his son was sick, this certain nobleman seeks Christ's intervention. He wants Christ to intervene on the behalf of his sick son. We don't know in what way his son was sick. We do know that he was so sick that he was about to die. He was at the point of death. It doesn't really matter what the sickness is. If you're at the point of death, it's pretty serious. And this man's son was at the point of death. And this nobleman realized that the only thing that could help his son was a direct intervention from the Lord, that the Lord needed to intervene. So we see, first of all, that there, as in all the healing miracles, we are presented with a great need. We are presented with a need that is far, far beyond our ability. And really, all needs are beyond our ability, because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But sometimes we are brought to the point where we really, truly realize this is beyond my ability. I cannot fix this. And this, again, as we've said many times, that though you may think that's a bad place to be, that's really the best place you can possibly be. That's the safest place for you. And this is where this nobleman was at this time. We read here that this nobleman's son was sick at Capernaum. Verse 47, we again see the extent of his sickness, for he was at the point of death. That is, he was about to die. That makes the situation urgent. If you have a child that is sick and is about to die, that's urgency sets in. And you realize the seriousness of the situation. Sad to say, many times until we do realize the urgency and seriousness of the situation, we do not truly seek the Lord. That's true many times. We realize that's not true all the time, but many times we really only get serious when the situation is really urgent. And the situation is serious. And what's sad also is Many times the situation isn't urgent or serious unless it's in our little world. This nobleman, his little world was being rocked. His little world was being shaken. His son was sick on the death. If you have a son or a daughter that is sick unto death, I guarantee you that you're not the only one in the world at that time that is in that situation. There are many others. Go visit the ICU. Just go up there every now and then. Look in the waiting room. Every day. Every single day. There are people who have loved ones at the point of death. But we give it very little thought until it comes into our world. And then all of a sudden, this is urgent. This is serious. That's just the way we are by nature. It's sad, but that's our nature. This man was a nobleman. That means that he had prestige. He had power. He was a man of authority. He probably was a man of wealth. But this man's prestige, this man's power, this man's wealth could not prevent his son from getting sick, nor could it prevent his son from dying. And you notice as he came to Jesus Christ, he did not tell Christ that he was a nobleman. He did not plead his prestige, he did not plead his power, he did not plead his wealth. Perhaps for the first time in this man's life, he realized that his prestige and his power and his wealth meant nothing, but that the Lord was all things. And again, sad to say, we must be brought to that position from time to time. So this was a very grave and dire situation, a very critical situation, but a situation which this man's prestige and this man's power and this man's wealth could not fix. Nothing he could do. We see that Jesus healed the nobleman's son at a distance without ever coming into personal contact with him. You look, again, I love preaching from the healing miracles of Christ. But you look at those miracles. Jesus is not in a box. Many times there were people, for blindness for an example. Jesus didn't heal all cases of blindness the same way. One man, he put mud in his eye, spit in his eye. Another man, he just spoke, "Go thy way." And it's the same today. We have a tendency to put the Lord in a box. And because he did something one way one time, we think he's limited to that. And we limit the Lord in our minds. The nobleman pleaded with Christ. In verse 47, when he heard that Jesus was come. When he heard that Jesus was come. Now that tells us a couple of things. No doubt this man had heard of Jesus Christ. No doubt he had heard of some of his miracles. Or it would not have meant a thing that Jesus had come. But it meant something to this nobleman, because he had heard some stories. He had heard some accounts of how Jesus had healed others. So this nobleman came to Christ, and it says there in verse 47, he went unto him. It's not enough just to hear that Jesus is come. This nobleman went unto Jesus. That was an act of humility. for a nobleman to come unto Jesus. But when people get desperate, when situations are serious, they will act out of the norm. And this certainly was not the norm for this nobleman. And he said in verse 49, the nobleman, Jesus rebuked him, and the nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down before my child die. Now, this nobleman had limited Christ in his mind. First of all, he believed that Christ must come to Capernaum and come into contact with his son. Sir, come down. So he believed, why? Because that's the way the Lord's always done it. He's always come into personal contact with those he's healed up to this point. So this nobleman, he's got to come to Capernaum. Hurry up. Hurry up, Lord. We don't have any time to waste. He also put the Lord in a box because he said, before my child die. In other words, he believed that if the son died, it was too late. That, of course, was not true. We know that the Lord resurrected at least three individuals. So this nobleman, his faith is lacking. But he still received a miracle. You and I ought to be very glad that our faith, that our miracles are not dependent upon the perfection of faith, because we would never experience any of them. Our faith is always lacking. Always. There's always some flaw in our faith. But this is mercy. This is mercy. God looks beyond the fault, the weakness of our faith, and he blesses in spite of. So don't attribute the miracles of God to your faith. It's strictly of the Lord. But this sense of urgency, this sense of desperation in the Father's request, and you see there's a sense of agony. Sir, come down ere my child die. Come down before he die. Now, Capernaum was 18 to 20 miles away. So that would have been quite a trip to walk 18 to 20 miles. But Jesus did not have to go to Capernaum to heal this nobleman's son. Jesus very calmly said to this nobleman, thy son liveth. And it was right then. It was as soon as Jesus spoke those words, which we'll see next week, that the fever left him. It was an immediate cure. The patient is 18 to 20 miles away. And all Jesus has to do is speak the word. The same one who said, let there be light, and it was so. That's all he has to do. All he has to do is speak the word. That reminds us of Psalm 139. You can't get away from the Lord. Because all he has to do is speak the Lord, the word. So we'll continue next week. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heaven